Wonderful worship, just a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. I trust that God is visiting you in your living room or your kitchen, wherever you're at right now. And we traditionally have tried to spend some time in God's Word making declarations. So I just want to share that with you before the message this morning. You can join with your family and make this personal as well. The Word of God says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm lifted up with Him, and I'm seated with Him in the heavenly places. Isn't that a wonderful promise? I am filled, led, and marked by His Spirit. I have redemption, forgiveness of sin. I know the mystery of His will. He has given me authority to win over all the power of the enemy. He chose me before the foundation of the world. I no longer walk or talk or act like this world. I am renewed in the spirit of my mind, so I walk in unity with the other believers. I walk in faith. I walk in health. I walk in wisdom. I walk in love. I am only what the Word of God says I am. I'm a child of the living God. I am His workmanship, created in Christ for good works. He is my God and Savior. He lifted me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock, and He made my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song to my God. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I have love. I have joy. I have peace. I have long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and, yes, self-control. I'm equipped. I'm free. I am dangerous to the enemy and valuable in the kingdom. I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror, and I make good confessions before many witnesses in Jesus' name. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, as we go to Your Word, Lord, that You would minister to each and every one listening to what Your Word says. Father, that would hit the target of our heart, and that we would continue to grow strong in You in this hour when You're looking to the church to extend Your kingdom. Father, may that take place. We give You the glory and the honor. Bless the reading of Your Word and the preaching of it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm back in the book of Ephesians this morning. The last 4 weeks, we've been kind of talking about the condition we find ourselves in as America is still on lockdown. But I was looking at Ephesians chapter 4, which if you're part of New Life, we've been in the book of Ephesians for the past several months. I want to get back to that. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm going to read 1 through 6 in the New King James. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. May God bless to us the reading of His Word. You know, Paul starts in verse 1 of chapter 4. He says, I therefore. Anytime you see therefore, you want to go back and see what he's talking about. In verse 20 of chapter 3, he said, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So Paul says, I therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore, it's because God is able to do everything we ask Him and much more. There is no limitations to what God is able to do. And Paul, recognizing that, realizing because of the power of God, he calls himself a prisoner. It is in such times as we find ourselves in, even now, church, that define God's ecclesia or His church. We are His children, and we're given the authority to declare. We're given authority to loose and to bind and to preach His kingdom. Because in this hour we are being prompted by the Spirit of God to walk in the God-given authority that He's given us. And so Paul says that he's a prisoner of the Lord. Paul understood that he was a prisoner of God. And many of us don't realize that when we gave our heart to God, we gave our lives to Him, and our lives are no longer our own. You know, we're called as bond slaves of Jesus Christ, and that means we choose to serve Him. Many say that we're free, and that's true, we are free, but there's boundaries in the freedom. A prisoner is confined. A prisoner, when we talk about that, they're confined in a small space. You and I are confined. We have limitations as to what we can do. A prisoner is also conformed. The goal is to be rehabilitated so that one can be part of a civil society. You and I are being changed. The process of sanctification is happening in us. We are prisoners of Christ. Paul recognizes that when he calls himself the prisoner of the Lord. And he mentions that. He says, of the Lord. He's not just a prisoner of anybody. He's a prisoner of the Lord. So our lives are owned by Father, and we are called to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. What is wrong has always been wrong and always will be wrong. Many are supporting lifestyles, even Christians, sadly, strictly forbidden by God. They, not us, are making this an issue. And the issue before us is the lives of families are changing, the lives of our social things are changing, forcing the church to speak about it. It is a sin, though, and always will be a sin. We must remember we are prisoners of God. We are prisoners of the Lord. We walk according to that way. And the Word of God goes on to say Paul beseeches us to walk worthy of the calling. So this walking, it's to our lifestyles are supposed to reflect the glory of God. You know, it's not out of it's not a popular thing to be holy anymore. It's not, we kind of want to look like the world and act and talk like the world, but we're no longer part of the world system, you and I. We're citizens of the kingdom. And that is the thing that you and I follow. It says, walk worthy of the calling. You say, well, I'm not called. Yes, you are. If you're a Christian this morning, you're called. And Philippians 3:18 says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. We've got to be showing ourselves to be servants of the living God and following God's word. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, that you may walk or have character worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's the walk that you and I have. We're challenged to reflect God's glory and reflect His knowledge and His wisdom. And then finally in 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk, have character, worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. The wonderful thing is, my friend, is that we are serving the living God, and He's giving us everything that pertains to life and godliness, so we're to walk worthy of the calling. And what is that calling? That calling is to represent the kingdom of God in this fallen world. That's a difficult thing sometimes to do, and it sets us apart. Jesus said it like this. He said, you are a city set on a hill. You're a light to the world, and we ought to be drawing attention to Jesus in us, and the attention is being drawn to us. We are called, Paul says, to walk worthy of that calling. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. And we're called, right now we're living in a country that's believing all kinds of lies. The Word of God is very clear about that. 2 Peter 1:3 says, as His divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. You and I have been given the knowledge to offset the lie that is being perpetrated on this world. You know, Satan hasn't taken time off. He is not confined because of the coronavirus. The delusion, the strong deception continues to work in the world. I'd like to say something different. I'd like to forget all about that, but we can't. We have an enemy that's very much on the move right now. And we are called, Paul says, walk worthy of the calling. What are we called to do? We're called to set the standard that the world is begging to see. It goes on to say that with all lowliness, verse 2, and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. So let's break that down. Number one is lowliness. With all lowliness, what's that mean? It means that we are called to serve one another. Now, it's easy to serve somebody that you love and serves you back, but we are called to serve this world. We don't get a lot of thanks for that. We just don't. And there are people that are complaining and railing and pointing fingers and wagging tongues against senators and governors and mayors and all those things. Listen, we're called to serve. We're called to serve and let the Holy Spirit work all of that out. So we're called to lowliness and gentleness. You know, speaking the truth in love. The truth must be spoke, but we must love. We're not motivated by love. Paul says we have nothing. The presence of truth is not the absence of love. I oftentimes say that. There's a lot of truth in that. We've got to tell the truth, but the love has got to be there. And then he goes on to say long-suffering. Remember, we've got to have patience with the world. And sometimes they don't get it, but remember that you were once lost. I was once lost, and we didn't want to hear it. But there are people that God is drawing by His Spirit, and they are it seems like forever, but they're going to come. Continue to pray, continue to witness, continue to tell them about the kingdom of God. People will remember your confidence more than your opinion. Listen, the world is full of opinions. Have confidence in Christ. Speak the truth. It's the unwavering truth of God that's going to hold us steady. And it says to bear with one another in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says that love is patient, love is kind, love bears all things, believes all things. We must be people of love, especially in this climate that we find ourselves in. People are getting edgy. People are in fear. You know, love is the foundation, the substance, and the activity of the kingdom of God. We run on love. Just like you and I have to have breath to live, we have to have love to make the kingdom of God move. And we've got to be motivated by love. Paul goes on to say that we're to have the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, we in America champion the freedoms that we have. Everybody has an opinion. If you have the Spirit of God, though, you will agree with what the Word says, period. There are many people that want to interpret the Word one way or interpret it the other way according to a doctrine, according to a denomination. Let me tell you, the Word of God is not for private interpretation. We must agree with what the Word says. Sure, ask questions, study to show yourself approved, do what you need to do. But when the final word comes out, that's the Word of God. What the Word of God says is meant. Sin is sin. Righteousness is righteousness. You and I have to be completely sold out to what God says. The world would have us question our position, but we are to be fully committed to what God says. The unity of the Spirit means one church following clearly the precepts of God and what He sets forth. Ephesians 3:10 says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, the many-sided wisdom of God, might be made known by what? The church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. How will we do this if we cannot agree? I see the church fighting on major issues. Is this lifestyle accepted? Can we live together? Can we do things illegally? No, the Word of God is very clear on those things that we must stop fighting. And the real church is proven by supporting what the Word of God says. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 says, can two walk together in unity? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? We cannot walk together in unity if we're not in agreement. Paul says it's the unity in the bond of peace. You know, Jesus prayed this prayer for you and I, and He prayed this prayer for the church. In John chapter 17, it's called the High Priestly Prayer. and I'm quoting from verse 22, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." God promises that that prayer will come to pass, that you and I be one. We must be one in Christ. It's imperative, especially in an hour like we're in. We must stand for the Word of God. I encourage you to go to your knees and cry out to God for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace for the church. God promises a peace that passes all understanding. This bond of peace brings peace to be able to say we are one in Christ. Is it hard to walk in unity? Yes, it is. It's hard to walk in unity. It's hard to put your personal opinion aside and to walk in unity. Is it constraining? You better believe. Yes, it is. It's constraining to say, I'm not going to fight about this. I'm going to come in unity. I'm going to swallow my pride. Is it hard to swallow your pride? You better believe it is. But listen, if we're going to get the work done that God wants us to work in our generation, we're going to have to be one. Paul says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling, to bear with one another in love. And then he says in verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in the hope of your calling. Listen, there is one body. God does not have a stunt double. He's not into other bodies. I'm trying to get this body of mine in shape in these last years of my life. I hope there are many. But I don't have a spare body. I don't have a stunt double I can do. So I've got to take care of this temple. And it's Christ is the same. He has one body. His instructions are to one body, not many bodies that come together and try to be in agreement. It's one body. We're all together. When you hear conflicting messages, it's time to pray. If you're hearing one person say one thing and another person say another that's totally opposite, you need to pray and hear what the voice of God is saying. He is not giving mixed messages from the throne. He's speaking very clearly to his body in this hour. God has a plan for his body, and it's coordination through obedience. As we obey, we'll be coordinated and we'll be open, we'll be lights to the world, salt to the earth, so that we'll be able to tell the generation that we live in what God is saying. God chooses to speak through you and I. Goes on to say that there's one Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is God. He's not given to being one way for some and another to others. Holy Spirit is God. Just like God said, I change not. It's the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Perfect in one, as we just read in John chapter 17. There's one body, and we've got to come in agreement. We've got to pray that the church come together. It's absolutely imperative, especially in America, for what we face moving forward. And I don't want to get into that, chase that rabbit right now, but there are some things coming down the pike that are going to make us stand back and make sure that we're one in Him and declaring His Word. God has a plan, one Spirit. He's not given to being one way for some and another to others. The Spirit of God does not change. And then it says, one hope of your calling. We are called, you and I, to be salt and light. What's that mean? First, we've got to intercede. We've got to pray for America. We've got to pray for our loved ones. We've got to pray for the lost. Interceding and praying in agreement with what Jesus is doing, forever making intercession before the throne. It also means we do warfare prayers. Listen, folks, we have an enemy, and he's very much on the move. He didn't take a break. He didn't take time off. He's very much on the move to separate, to divide, and to make us of no consequence in our generation. We've got to do warfare prayers. Resist the devil means to pray against him. What Jesus said, if we bind, it'll be bound. If we loose, it'll be loose. We must do that. You say, preacher, how do I do that? Just begin to pray and take authority over the enemy. He's going to listen to you because you're a child of the living God. And thirdly, we've got to occupy. Be about his work. Remember what your ultimate goal is to reflect and to declare the glory of God and His kingdom in this earth. Paul finishes this part of the scripture in verse 5. He says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So what does that mean, one faith? It's exactly what it says. We have one faith. We have faith in God. It's not faith in faith. It's not faith in a denomination. It's not faith in the economy. It's not faith in any other thing. It's faith in the living God. We've got to unify ourselves in believing that God knows what's going on and He's going to carry us through. It's one baptism. We're baptized in God. We are part of His body. We are not separate from it. We are part of what God is doing at all times and in every place. One God and Father. And again, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are exactly in sync and asking us to be in sync with Him. We need to reset ourselves to obey what God is saying in this hour. It's a wonderful time to be alive. I wouldn't want to be alive in any other moment. It's a time to see the kingdom of God come forth in power. Is it difficult times? There may be some difficult times ahead, but we're going to be okay. God says that He's above all. God is number one in everything. He's not taking second place. He's not serving anybody. He is God and King. He sits on His throne and He declares the end from the beginning. God always was and God always will be. He's above all. We can count on Him. He's not going to lie to us. He's not a man that He should lie. And He's through us and in us. He speaks through His church and He's in His church. Folks, let me just conclude by saying that we are called, you and I, to be representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, the highest calling anybody could have. I don't care if you're a dishwasher or a CEO. The most important thing that we're called to do is to represent the kingdom of God. God placed you here to do that. May we give Him the glory. May He get all the glory. And I'm praying, as you are, for this nation, the economic things that are happening, our society, the way it's going. There's some changes, things that we could have never believed we're facing during this time. Hopefully in a couple weeks, things will be back to being open and we'll be able to congregate together. But until then, and if it's longer time, we need to continue to pray and continue to be the prisoners of the Lord, doing what He's called us to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your greatness and Your goodness in us, God. I thank You that You've chosen to use us in this hour. God, I pray for the voice of the church to be strong. I pray, God, for my brothers and sisters everywhere, those listening, those other churches that we love so much. Oh, Father, I pray that the message going forth is one of strength, is one of power, and that we would not shy away from preaching Your word in this hour. God, I pray for those listening that You would unify their hearts, pray for families to be blessed, that we would continue to be protected against any virus or sickness. Lord, that none of the things that You took in Your own body on the tree would come near us, Father. I thank You. We stand on Psalm 91. We believe, God, that You've called us for this hour. Blessings to You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and I'll see you next week.